Okay, we're gonna continue now. We're on Sugya 1 of our new Mishnah. Let's just review what we did yesterday. Yesterday, the Mishnah said there are... Oh, thank you. How about now?
It's coming, okay.
Okay, the Mishnah said that there are five tom damagers. And that means when an ox gores or pushes or bites or crouches or kicks for the first three times, it is not a muad. It's not a muad when it does those things five times. So that's the first five tom damagers. Then it says there's five muad damagers. And what are the five muad damagers? Shane, when it's eating food. Regel, when it's trampling. These are muads right away. Muad, ox for Karen, which we assume is after three times. Then, damaging in a victim's premises, which the only thing we could figure is a tom ox that damages in a victim's premises. And a man. Those are the five muads. Then the Mishnah lists other muads for the first offense. A wolf, a lion, a bear, a leopard, a barbless, and a snake. They're muads right away. And Rabbi Lezer says, if they're domesticated, they're not muads, except for a snake, which is always a muad. That was the Mishnah. Now, the issue we're going to learn, the central issue for the time being is, like which Tana can our Mishnah be explained? And here is the problem, from the first half of the Mishnah to the second half of the Mishnah. Statement number two said, and the first point of the second point of the Mishnah, the first idea is, a shane's a muad to eat food fitting for it. Okay. So now, where is the animal eating the food? For him to pay full damage of the muad. Where is he? He's in the victim's premises. Okay. Now, it says before that line, and the first line, it says there's five tom damagers. Goring, pushing, biting, crouching, kicking the first three times. The Mishnah words it as such though, it's, even though it says there's five toms and five muads, the wording of the Mishnah is, if it gores, pushes, bites, crouches, kicks, or that, it is not a muad. It said it is not a muad. So why is it saying it is not a muad? Meaning to show that although in the very next case, where Shane is a muad right away, as it's eating in the damagee's property, when it comes to goring or the toldos of goring, where it, you know, could be a muad, you know, where there's a situation of muad by eating, and you think maybe that, you know, the first three times this happens, you would pay full amount. We're saying, no, you only pay half. So it comes out that that statement of statement one of the Mishnah, that the five toms are goring, pushing, biting, crouching, cooking, is not a muad. It's referring to not a muad, like as opposed to Shane is a muad. And when Shane is a muad, it's eating it in the victim's property. Here we're saying the ox goring is not a muad when it's in the victim's property. Now, that is not such a simple point. What the Mishnah seems to be saying is that when a tom damages in the victim's property, it's still only pays like a tom, half amount. And that's like the opinion of the Chachamim. Because we're going to see in a minute, there's an argument, the Chachamim and Rav Tarfon. Chachamim and Rav Tarfon later on have a machlokes. It's in a Mishnah later on. If a tom, we know a tom pays half. Rule number one. When you damage in the damagee's property, you pay full. Rule number two. Question. When a tom damages in damagee's property, what do? Chachamim say, we keep with the tom part, you pay half. Reb Tarfon says, no, you pay full. So now what did this Mishnah, first half of our Mishnah seem to indicate? Well, it says that these five tom actions, even they're not called muad, even though they're in a position where it could be a muad if it was Shane in the damagee's field, and you still only pay half. So that's like the Chachamim who say that Karen pays half damage in the victim's premises. So when we read the first part of the Mishnah, it makes sense like the Chachamim that says you pay half for Karen in the victim's premises. When it says five tom damagers, and what are they? That the five types of Karen are not a muad. What do you mean it's not a muad? You say it's a tam. No, it's not a muad because there's other things in the damager's place. It is a muad, but it's not considered a muad. You only pay half. That only goes according to chachamim. However, the question is, if you look at the seifa, when it says in the second point of the Mishnah, the fourth example, it says damaging in the victim's premises. Well, what could the case be a full payment of damage in the victim premises if we already used up shein and regel in the victim's premises? The only thing you could say is if a tam ox would gore in the victim's premises, you pay the full amount. And that only goes like Rabbi Tarfon. So the problem is that the first part of the Mishnah that would seem to indicate that when the tam gores in the premises of the victim, you only pay half, it goes like the chachamim. While the statement in the Sefer that says, that point four, that says that the tam ox damages the victim's premises, pays like a muad, the full amount then only goes like Rabbi Tarfon. And that's a problem to have a mission without any names, that the first clause only makes sense according to one rabbi, and the second clause only makes sense according to another rabbi, and that's the problem we left you off with yesterday. All right, we got that clear. That's cool. As clear as can be.
Clear as can be.
Again, it's important. I don't want to waste your time here. I'll say one more time to make it clear. When the line one. Oh, why? What is that doing over there? That's really bad. Okay. That line, there's five tam damagers. Okay, what is that specifically speaking about? Remember, the Mishnah says they're not muads. They're not muads. What do you mean it's not muads? Why are you saying not muads? Well, because in the next line, okay, that line says shein is muad to eating food fitting for it. That line only can be said when it's in the damagee's property. That's when that's a muad. The line before just said that these five types of karen are not muad. Why did it say it's not muad? I mean to say that even if they would damage in a place where other muads pay full amount, it doesn't. So that first statement is saying that when the tam gores in the victim's property, only pay half. That goes according to the chachamim. While this line over here, point four, that says the fourth muad is damaging in the victim's premises, the only case that could seem to make any sense is when a tam ox gores in the victim's premises. And we're saying that's one of the five muads. You pay the full amount. How can you pay a full amount to tam? That's only if you're like Rabbi Tarfon. So the first part seems to be like the chachamim. The second part seems to be like Rabbi Tarfon. But a Mishnah that there were no names mentioned in the entire Mishnah. There are no names until the end, until you get to Rebbe Lazar. But up to Rebbe Lazar, there's no names. It seems there's one consistent opinion. But it only makes sense. The first half only makes sense according to the Chachamim. The second half only makes sense according to Rabbi Tarfon. So how do we deal with it? Okay. So Gemara gives an answer. Let's go to the Gemara now. And we're at the bottom of 15b. Two lines from the bottom of 15b. As soon as it loads for me. Man, it takes longer every day to start the machine. Okay, there we got it. That was the question. This is the first of four answers. The first answer to the question is, can one be like one rabbi, one part like the other rabbi? Gemara says, answer one, ain, yes. That's how the Mishnah was formulated. Exactly. How do I know this? The Amar le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, because Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, he said, Shinana, O sharp one, that's what he called Rabbi Yehuda. This Mishnah, if you want to understand this Mishnah, let me give you some advice. Shmok Masnisin, leave this Mishnah alone. And follow me. Meaning say, don't try to figure out this Mishnah. Don't try to resolve it. Just follow me. And this is what I say, I learned this Mishnah. Reisha Rabbanan, the first half of the Mishnah makes sense only according to the Rabbanan. Vesefa Rabbi Tarfon, and the second half only fits in according to Rabbi Tarfon. And that's the only way to learn this Mishnah. Done. It's not the simplest pshat, it's a dochik pshat. I've been working on this for years. I can't figure out another explanation. We've got to live with it. So that's answer number one. Answer number one says, first half of the Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, second half is like Rabbi Tarfon. That's it. There's no other way to deal with it. And we had that a few sugyas ago in the previous Mishnah 2. There was a similar problem, and this was referenced. We referenced to this case to resolve a brisa that had the same problem before. You got no choice. I guess Rabbi Yehuda knows that when he formulated the Mishnahs, he formulated in a way that the first half fit in according to one rabbi, second half like another rabbi. Now that is not a great answer, but if you're stuck, you have no other way to explain it, that's the answer. Okay, that's answer number one. Now you'll see between all the four answers which one you like the best or hate the least. Okay, disapprove of the least. Okay, that's answer one. So now, that would mean then that we're learning the Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah is like the Chachamim, and the first half of the Mishnah is implying that when the five Tamim damage in the injured party's field, you still only pay half, like the Chachamim. And when the later statement says, you pay as a Mu'ad when you damage in the damagee's property, it's referring to Tam, Karen, that pays the full amount, like Rabbi Tarfon, and the Mishnah's not consistent. That's the only way to learn it. Okay, Gemara tries to come up with another dochek answer. Rabbi Lazar Mishmei de Rav Amar. Rabbi Lazar, the name of Rav, comes up with another answer, to which we'll have to wait for the page to turn. And he says, Kula Rabbi Tarfani. No, we can learn that the Mishnah is all like Rabbi Tarfon, who's strict. He says that even when the Tam Karen is in the damagee's property, you pay the full amount. Well, what was the problem? Well, the first half of the Mishnah didn't seem to suggest that. Because the first half was speaking about the five Toms that are not Mu'ads. They're not Mu'ads. And it must be referring to a case where it could have been a Mu'ad if it was a Shane, and that's in the damagee's property. So we say, you know what? That first case, the Mishnah, we didn't exactly say what kind of situation it was speaking about where the animal gored. In other words, what kind of field did he go into? So we'll say that the Reisha is a unique situation and it's not a classic situation. What's the unique situation? Reisha, the first ruling in the Mishnah that says that Karen pays half damages while the full damages are for Shane and Regal, right? That's what it said. It said Shane and Regal you pay full, right? Because it's in the damagee's property. The first part, Tom of Karen, only pays half. It's in the following case, which is what? We thought it was just one thing, the damagee's property. When we said you pay the full amount for Shane, because it was the damagee's property. Well, why are you paying half? I guess it's like the Chum. No! We could have a case in the same property, you pay half for Karen and a whole for Shane, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. How's that? How would that be? Because look at the case. Let's say it was a property that was jointly owned by two people, but one person has the exclusive rights to put fruits, yes, to put fruits and things like that on the property, right? And ulazel is that, but him and the other guy can both put their oxen on the property. It's a case where two guys jointly own it. They both can put their oxen, only one guy can put his fruits on the property. Look at point one. The yard does not belong exclusively to the nizik, but is rather jointly owned by him and the mazik. However, only the damaged party had the right to keep produce there. Okay. So now we can say both statements of the Mishnah are consistent with Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because the first half is speaking where the partner can bring his fruits while the other one can't. But they both can bring oxen. So therefore it comes out. The legabe shame, when it comes to eating the fruits that are there, then the guy, he only had permission to bring an ox, but not permission to bring fruits, because say you can't go and damage my fruits. So havilei chatzer nizik. Then in regards to that, it's considered the property of the injured party. because the other guy was only allowed to use, because he was the only one allowed to use it for produce. The other guy couldn't use it for produce. Look at footnote 2. For though both the damager and the damaged party have permission to allow their oxen into the yard, the fact that only the nizak can use it for produce classifies as a yard, as his yard with regard to produce, as we already learned in 14a. So in other words, I'm the only one allowed to bring produce. That means you got to be careful with my produce. So if your animal eats my produce, you got to pay. But on the other hand, regarding goring, since both of them can bring animals, Lagabe Karen, regarding goring, Havir Shazaram, it's like a public domain, meaning to say both parties were allowed to bring there. Since both parties are allowed to bring there, then it's not considered Rishus Anisik regarding goring. Look at point 3. The Gemara concluded on 14a that all agree that a jointly owned yard is classified as a public domain in regard to Karen if both partners have the right to bring their oxen into it. So we're going to say like this. The first half of the Mishnah is speaking, what's better? The first answer was, first half's Chacham, the second half was Rabbi Tarfon, very dochek. We'll say the first half is a unique scenario, but it's all Rabbi Tarfon. The first half says, in a property that they both can bring their oxen, but only one can bring his fruits. So now, if Shane eats the fruits, well, even though you were partners to a certain degree, but you weren't allowed to bring your fruits, so you can't eat his fruits, so he's considered a damaged property, and you got to pay the full amount. But since we could both bring oxen in, even Rabbi Tarfon would agree that when both can bring their oxen, it's not like an injured party's field regarding goring, it's like a public domain which only pays half. The Seva that says, when it gores in the injured party, you pay full. That's Rabbi Tarfon's position when you're not allowed to bring your oxen at all. So the first half is speaking in a field where they can both bring in the ox, but only one guy can bring in the fruits. Therefore, for fruits, you gotta pay the full amount, but for oxen, only half, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. And the final case is where it's exclusively the rights of the injured party, and therefore, even a tom pays the full amount, like Rabbi Tarfon, and that's how we would learn the Mishnah.
Last part you just said,
yeah.
I thought we just said the tom will pay half.
Only if it's a property where both are allowed to bring oxen. The last case where it says of the four muads, that if it's the injured party's field, that's when only the injured party can bring in fruits and oxen. That couldn't bring in anything at all. Then he pays the full amount according to Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. So the second answer, like everything's Rabbi Tarfon. A tom in the injured party's, exclusive injured party's field pays the full amount. The first half that suggested you only pay half, it's because it's being against, we had the rights to bring the ox, but not the rights to bring the fruits. So this is answer number 2.
So in each of those answers, we're saying the first half is different scenario than the second half. In both, in case one, we're saying the first half.
Right, but this second answer is a little better. It's a little better because we list the fourth item as the property of the nizak, which it seems to say that before that we're talking about a different type of property.
Right.
Right. If in the case of the five muads, the fourth one is in the injured person's property, then what were the cases before that? Can't be the injured person's property. It's a case where jointly owned for oxen, but not for fruits. So that is less of a dochek answer. However, Rav Kahana comes along and says this answer is not a good answer. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, you know what? I said over this answer to Rav Zvid from the Nahardoi, and he knocked it off. He knocked it off. Why? Because the Omar Lee and said to me, what are you trying to say? The whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Tarfon. We didn't mention anything about the Chomim. We don't mention anything about the Machlokas. There's no hint to any Machlokas here. Right? According to the first answer, the fact that we say the first half is like the Chachamim, second half is Rabbi Tarfon, we kind of know there's a machlokas going on over here, right? But let's see now. But now you want to say, no, it's all Rabbi Tarfon here. So he says like this. His criticism was, Mimotzis Mukmas Lakud Rabbi Tarfon, and you interpret the Mishnah only like Rabbi Tarfon? There's going to be a problem. If you're going to learn all like Rabbi Tarfon, you're still going to have a problem. Why? Well, let's think about this. What was one of the lines of the Mishnah? It's all Rabbi Tarfon, yeah? Okay. What is one of the lines of the Mishnah by Shane says? Haktani Hashane. It says Shane. Muetes lechas arelay. It's a muet to eat what it normally would eat. Right? What it would normally eat. Right? So I go into somebody's field and there's tomatoes there, it eats tomatoes, pay the full amount. What it would normally eat. What do we say if it's what it would not normally eat? How do we treat it like? You pay the full amount of zemut when he eats food that it would normally eat, right? Yeah. Now, where, first of all, what field does that have to be in? The damagee's field, completely damaging field. Normally, what's the implication of what it normally eats? Implies, what if it eats something it doesn't normally eat? It's like a town pays how much?
Uh-huh.
Half. Why? Because it's unusual. But where is it? So now, that implication, the part of the implication, when you're eating what it doesn't normally eat and you pay half, where is the field? Someone else's field. And that's like Karen. When it's unusual, unusual eating is no different than goring, which is unusual. What's Rabbi Tarvin's position when Tom damages in someone else's field? Pay the full amount. The implication would not be consistent with Rabbi Tarvin's position. Right? If we've got Rabbi Tarvin, say, just like Rabbi Tarvin, that all Toms pay full amount in the damaged person's field. So even though you took care of the first case, you said, well, it's not exclusively the damagee's field because I have permission to bring an oxen and not an ox. Both can bring oxen, but I can't bring in the fruit. That's why I don't pay the full amount. That's good for the first half. But that last case where it says when it eats what it normally would eat, and it's clearly in the injured person's party, fine, you're paying the full amount. But the implication is, what if it eats not the usual amount? If it eats not the usual amount, that usual type of food, you pay half. But where's he been eating? In the damagee's property. And in the damagee's property, what's Rabbi Tarvin's position when a Tom damages in the damagee's property? You pay the full. So the implication won't be true. The implication won't be true. Rabbi Tarvin says, in the injured person's field, you always pay everything. I don't care what you are. I don't care what you are. That's Rabbi Tarvin's position, right? Now we say the case of the Mishnah, when it eats, you pay the full amount. And the understanding of that is, well, that's in the Rishus HaNizuk. That last case in the Rishus HaNizuk. But the implication, eat what it normally eats. What if it eats not normal thing? Well, then you don't pay the full amount. That's the implication. You pay half. But you eat, but he's eating in the damagee's field. In the damagee's field, Rabbi Tarvin says, you always pay the full amount. So why would he have to say what it normally eats? It should have just said eat anything. Normal or not normal, you'd pay the full amount. Why do you only say normal? Because it must have implied that it's abnormal, you pay half. Well, according to Rabbi Tarvin, you wouldn't pay half. So we're not better off making the Mishnah be like Rabbi Tarvin because that line wouldn't make sense according to Rabbi Tarvin either. Again, according to this answer, what's it trying to say? The first half of the Mishnah that says you pay half, it's a unique case. It's a unique case. They both have permission to bring the oxen in. So I only have to pay half. Okay, fine. But now when it says, when it's eating in the damagee's field, and it's eating, and he had no permission, even in the case where it's both convinced that you can't bring in your own fruits, only the other guy can. So regarding fruits, it's a damagee's field. But what is he saying? You pay the full amount, but this is the problem. Pay the amount when it eats normally.
Does it say normally?
Yes, haroilo. Go back. Let's try it again. Go back to point two, number one. Shein is mu'ud to eat food fitting for it.
Yeah.
So even if you're going to say, this is the scenario where they can both bring in oxen, but only one can bring in the food. So regarding food, it's considered his domain. You pay the full amount. But fitting for it, implying not fitting for it, you don't pay the full amount. But why not? According to Rabbi Tarfon, you always pay the full amount. When it's a time under any circumstance, so that answer doesn't make any sense either. And that's what, let's look at the notes. So, point three, answer Shmuel was yes. You say that the Reish is the Chachamim, the sages are Rabbi Tarfon. Answer number two of Rabbi Lazar, no. The entire Mishnah is like Rabbi Tarfon. The Reish discusses a field in which only the victim may have fruit, leaf fruit, and both the victim and the amateur may have animals. Regarding Shane, it's like the victim's yard. Regarding Karen, it's like Rishus HaRabim. So that answered that ratio. But the objection is, the Mishnah says Shane is mu'ud to eat what is fitting for it. The inference is, it is not mu'ud for something it does not normally eat. Eating something that does not normally eat is still like Karen. And Rabbi Tarfon obligates full damage in the victim's rishus, while the Mishnah implies you only pay half. And that's the problem. While the Mishnah implies that so, conclusion of the objection, the reish of the Mishnah cannot follow Rabbi Tarfon. It can't. It can't. And therefore, answer number two is rejected. So to say the entire Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon, it cannot be. Because even if you want to say it's Rabbi Tarfon, no matter what the case is, it says, if it eats what's fitting for it, but not fitting, you pay half. Why should you pay half? Quen Rabbi Tarfon, that's no different than Karen, that you pay full amount of the damages property. So we're stuck without an answer. So tomorrow, we're going to try answer three and answer four. All right? That's what we're up to. Okay, you got to review this. Got to review this a little bit, guys.
They have an answer two.
What?
The answer two isn't an answer.
Answer one is an answer, but it's not a great answer.
Right.
Answer two, we said it can't be. Answer two cannot be an answer. So I have to see what answer three is going to suggest.